this ring, it is a symbol of my marriage. It's a symbol of the vows that we have made, isn't it? We have vowed to be faithful to one another, and we have vowed to love one another. We have vowed to serve one another. Sometimes we need a bit of a reminder there too, that we have done all these things. So when I am away from home, and when I do my work out in the bush, or maybe when we are far away from home, I can look at this ring, and I know that symbolizes not only my love for my wife, but her love for me. But more than that too is that when I look at this ring, I know that I have to be faithful to my wife. You see, this is a constant reminder of what I am. I'm a husband and I'm a father. But this is not that. It's a reminder of that. Do the children understand what I'm trying to get across? I hope so. So next time you see someone with a ring on their finger, you know that they are married. And you can actually expect of that person to be faithful to his or her husband or wife. So this is a symbol of the real thing. This is not the real thing. But to me, this ring is so real that it actually, every day, it reminds me of who I am and what I should be. Something of that comes through in communion when we take the wine and the bread. The wine and the bread, they don't save us, but they are the reminder, the symbol, that we are Christ's own. They are the seals, as is, this is the seal too, that we belong to Him. And every time we partake of the communion, of course, we are reminded of His love for us as He died for us. But we are also reminded of our responsibilities to live as the bride of Christ. Let us read the Word of God, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to read from verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. This is the word of God. May He give us the insight to understand and to also apply what is said to our lives. My dear brother and sister in the Lord, there is with some Christians the idea that the sacraments are not important. Some parents would withhold the sacrament of baptism from their children for reasons purely human and not in accordance with the Word of God. Communion Sundays come and go, and some church members would not regard the sacrament important to set aside this special day and not accept any other appointment on this day. Now the question is it important to observe the sacraments? Or we put the question the other way around, is there a need for the Holy Communion? Or can we go without it? To this I would put a counter-argument and say there is an absolute need for communion. And this is the theme of our sermon today, the necessity of communion. I then state very clearly that there is an absolute need for communion. Why? Because it is a command of the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It is not optional. It is a command. And when the Lord commands something, He knows why. And He knows that it's important. But first of all, I want to state very clearly that we are not sacramentalists. I want to just clarify this, what I mean by saying we're not sacramentalists. The Roman Church believed of the sacraments that they are a necessity, because that through the sacraments, which would act as the funnel of God's grace, we would receive God's grace. In this thinking, there is this, in other words, no other way of receiving God's grace but through the sacraments. Reformed theology, and that is the theology we adhere to, does not subscribe to this understanding of the sacraments. In other words, the administration of the sacraments will never save anyone. The murder on the cross next to Jesus never ever received any sacrament, and yet he was promised to be in paradise with Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira, being the members of the new church in Jerusalem, were surely baptized, I would think, and yet they dropped dead, condemned by God for all eternity. So the sacraments do not save. The Roman Church believed that a baby must be baptized as soon as possible after its birth, and in case it dies without being baptized. And a person needs to receive the last rites before his death in order to enter eternity blessed by the priest with a sacrament as a means of saving God's grace. We don't believe that, and we can't see that the Bible says that. The number of the sacraments in the Roman Church is also then extended to 7 compared by the 2 that we find in the Scriptures. So we are not sacramentalists. And when I say there is a necessity for the Lord's Supper, I don't mean it within this framework of saying that we are sacramentalists. because sacraments are signs of God's grace and are not to be confused with the grace that it represents. Takes us back to the ring. My wife will never be satisfied if I gave her the ring and walk away. When I just say to her, well, you've got me there, that's our marriage. You see the point? So let's then understand what the Bible means by the sacraments and its use. Now looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, our subordinate standards as Presbyterians, we find the following in chapter 27. And it says, sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace personally instituted by God to represent Christ and His benefits. Now that's the main thing that we need to understand today as we sit at the table of the Lord. Those signs, the bread and the wine, represents to us Christ and His benefits. What it means then is this: as surely as we see the wine and the bread, as surely as we take it, and as surely as we eat it and drink it, we may know that Christ Jesus did indeed die for us. He gave His body so that we may be saved and rescued from eternal hell. That's what it means. So when I see that, I cannot only look at the wine, I cannot look at the body, at the bread, but I have to, by faith, see the blood of Jesus, and by faith, understand that the bread is the body of the Lord. It represents that to us. I think we've got people in our midst today who have lost a life partner. And they might still have their wedding rings on their fingers. In some way or another that I can't understand yet, they still love them, and it still represents a life together. Yes, when we sit at the table of the Lord, we know that it represents Christ and His benefits to us, and also that it confirms our benefit in Him. As surely then as I take this by faith, and as surely as I drink by faith, what Christ has done on the cross, what He has done by being the last and the final sacrificial lamb, and the final high priest, and the final place the altar. We don't have it anymore. We have access to God in Jesus Christ. That's the benefit we have. By faith, I understand that. When I take the bread, when I take the wine, when I eat and I drink, by faith, this is what happens to me. But there's another thing that we understand from this. It makes a visible difference between the people that belong to the church and the rest of the world. Now, it took me a long, long time to get my head around this statement. Does it really make a difference when I walk into the church and I sit at the table and I take the wine and the bread? Will it make such a difference? Yes, it does. Why? Because no one can eat and drink without understanding what it's about. And when I understand what it's about, what happens is He changed my life. Therefore, the communion table and the sacraments are not for those who do not believe. Because when we sit at the table, we have communion and participation with our Lord. And it changes us. Not because the wine and the bread has got some magic effect on us. No! It is because we once again look at what Jesus did for us in a visible way. And when we sit then, we remember. We remember Christ. And we do it over and over again. It's not like with baptism, which is done only once. When we do it over and over again, as often as we do this, we are once again reminded of Christ, of His death, and the reason why He died. Therefore, it is a necessity. Why? And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? That's in Exodus chapter 12, which talks about the Passover, which has now become the communion or the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, as we understand it. Tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. When I come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I once again am reminded of the redemption that God provided. Very visibly, we see the signs of the wine and the bread. But more than that, when I come, it calls me to holiness. I cannot eat and drink of the wine and the bread and go away untouched. A year ago, a bit more than a year ago, this community was struck by terrible, terrible tragedy. And I'm sure that every time people who lost a friend or a relative at that level crossing would pass that, the horror of what had happened there would be in their minds. And every time I sit at the table of the Lord, the horror of sin, the horror of God's wrath on His Son, is fresh in my mind. At the table, I'm faced with the horror of sin and its consequences. At the table, I'm called to once again see myself as God sees me. I'm called to once again take stock of my life and confess my sins. If it is my intention to eat and drink of the elements and go away untouched, the Bible says, I eat and drink condemnation upon myself. It is here at the communion table that I face God, His love, His holiness, His judgment, and His mercy. And here I cringe, and here I fall prostrate, and here I repent. I cannot take the cup and drink without repentance. And sure, I need to once again, every now and then, be taken almost by the scruff of my neck to the scene of God's righteousness. He takes me to the cross of Jesus, where the ultimate sacrifice was made. I cannot participate, the Bible says, in the idols of the world and also at the table of the Lord. And here I make a choice to follow Him. I cannot sit at the table and commune with God without looking at those sitting with me, enjoying God's grace, knowing that I still have not made peace with people. I have to make restitution, and I have to make right what is wrong between me and my brother and my sister. I have to live with others in forgiveness and reconciliation, because without all these things, communion means nothing. Communion is a command, and because it's a command, I'm called to the table in the presence of God, and here I accept the grace given to me. Here I repent. Here I recommit myself in ongoing repentance and sanctification. Here I commit to my neighbor and accept him or her as my brother in the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. And we all partake of the one loaf. Communion then tells me of the wonderful grace that I'm reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. But communion also unites me with the rest of God's family. And because it's a command and not an optional, we sometimes, if we take it as an optional, we might get away with some unresolved sin in our life. How many times have I visited people who came to church fairly regularly, and then they might drop off one Sunday, and maybe the next time two Sundays, and then three Sundays, and a month. And a month becomes a quarter. And a quarter becomes a year. And you go and visit people and you ask them, why is it that you don't come back? And you know what they say? There's guilt within. And I can't face people there. What would they ask me now coming back? You see, what we do is we try to steer around our problem and not face our problem. And because of that, we in the end just can't come back. It's just too hard. But communion is one of those things that the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. And when you do it and you don't steer away from it, you're faced with the horror of Christ's death on the cross for your sin. And when we do this, we find peace. Don't ever take this as an optional. Run for it, not away from it. Here I stand before God, and the words of Hebrews chapter 10, 28, 31 are loud and clear. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Someone one day said, the best way to run away from God is to run
towards Him. And there you find grace. Run away, and you find judgment. The invitation set at the table. Here I fall down and I beg for grace. On my face before God, begging for grace, I hear this word of forgiveness. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This cup is the cup of salvation. And here the wrath of God and the grace of God meet. And by faith, I receive grace. Come to the Lord. With Him is grace. Amen. Our Father, we thank You that You have instituted the sacrament. And shortly we will receive the elements of Your love. And we pray, Lord, that as we take and eat and drink, we will remember. Take us to the cross of Calvary, but also, Lord, take us to see heaven and grace. Amen.